those things, right? The okay, so we don't have so much time right now, but it is Chodesh Elul. You know, Anila Dodila Dodili. So I do want to speak a little bit about Hilchos Tshuva, and just as a little bit of an introduction to the theme of Tshuva. So usually we focus on the Rambam. We'll probably also focus on the Rambam this year. We'll start focusing on the Rambam. But I just wanted to talk about you know, the broader picture. As we know, that the Rambam in Sefer Mada, right, develops Hilchos Tshuva. Right, the Rambam begins Sefer Mada. It's the beginning, it's the first of the books, and of course the insertion of Hilchos Tshuva in that book, in that section, is critical. The fact that it's called Sefer Mada, which implies that this is the kind of the area, the interface area, you know, with Machshava and Halacha, which it really is, beginning with Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, and continuing on with Hilchos Deos, and then, of course, Hilchos Talmud Torah, the negative, which is Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and then transitioning after Hilchos Avodah Zarah right into Hilchos Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva is the culmination of Sefer Mada, and the bridge, if you will, between Mada and Ava in the Rambam's you know, scheme of things, and that's very important. So the insertion of Hilchos Tshuva in this place as the C, if you will, with a sin, in other words, not with an S, but with a sin, meaning the culmination of Sefer Mada, the culmination of what begins with Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, certainly gives immense prominence to the theme of Tshuva, and establishes it as a pillar, let's say, in Avodas Hashem, and especially again in this interface between Hashkafa and Halacha. And it's no coincidence that we'll discuss this a little more in a minute, that the Rambam concludes the last chapter of Hilchos Tshuva is about Avodas Hashem Me'ava. It isn't really about Tshuva at all, right? There are several sections within Hilchos Tshuva. Most of Hilchos Tshuva is about Tshuva, of course, but there are several sections within Hilchos Tshuva that really could have been, you know, plucked out of Hilchos Tshuva and put in either Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah or Hilchos Talmud Torah or other Hilchos Deos, which is very interesting because the inclusion in Hilchos Tshuva then is very significant. One such section, of course, is a parakei of Hilchos Tshuva and the structure of things, right smack in the middle of the 10 prakim of Hilchos Tshuva, is the Rambam's treatment of Bechira Chafshis in Yad HaChazaka. Treats it also in Pirush Mishnayos, right, and called, you know, Tzafui V'Rishus Netumna, and of course in Mor Nevuchim. But his treatment in Yad HaChazaka is right here in parakei Hilchos Tshuva, right smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, Rishus Kol Adam Nitnalo, in Ratzel Hatos Atzmo, Derech Tova, and so on. Probably, again, not a coincidence that it's right smack in the middle of the 10 prakim of Hilchos Tshuva. Probably the Rambam's symbolic way of saying that, you know, this is Merkazi, this is central, this is a linchpin to Tshuva, which of course it is, meaning the idea that a person has control. He may not have control over the forces of the world. We read in the context of Shemona Prakim just the other day, right? Agav, some Isha's things. You know, the Rambam says that, you know, people make a mistake when they say, you know, when they interpret Akol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, that you know, it really refers to you know, natural forces or other phenomena, you know, how tall you are, how short you are, other physical, you know, parts of your life. Hakol bidei shemayim, you know, chutz miyiras shemayim. But bechira, free will, is something which is essential to the nature of man, and that's what the Rambam is referring to here in Hilchos Tshuva as well. So without a free will, right, there's no reward and punishment, and there's no concept of tshuva. So right smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva is Rambam's treatment of Bechira Chavchis, and right at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, is also a perek which, in theory, right? And this is so fascinating about it, I think. In theory, it has nothing to do with tshuva, right? The Rambam doesn't really speak of tshuva practically or at all. I have to check if the word tshuva appears here in this parak. The parak is dedicated to Al Yomar Adam Areni Osa Mitzvah Satora V'Osek B'Chachmasa Kedesha Kabel Abrochas Aksuvas Batora O Kedesha Eska L'Chay Olam Abba V'Afrosh Min Averos Shazira Torah Mehen and so on Kedeshi Natzel Min Aklolas Aksuvas Batora and so on. Ein Ro'i La'avod Es Hashem Al Derozeh Sh'Ovid Al Derozeh Ovid Meira Ein Amalas HaNeviim Lo Malas HaChachamim Ein Ovid Es Hashem Al Derozeh La'ameh Ha'aretz. Right, the real way to be is ad shatirba datan viyavdu meava, and then a ovid meava osik b'torah mitzvah salach b'nesivas hachachma lo mebnei davar ba'olam lo b'nei yiras hara lo kedei lirasha tova. Totally unpragmatic, totally idealistic, you know. And of course, the description keitzad ha'ava haruuya, right? Ava yisera rabba azad ma'od ad shetei nafshak shur ba'avas Hashem and the connection to marriage. And this is shobeg shogeba tamid kilucholi ahava. She'en data pnuyam me'avas osa isha shu shoga batamid, right? Of course, it's relevant to our other limud, but, and of course, he speaks about husha shloma amar darach mashal ki cholat ahava ani v'kol shir ashir mashal inan zeh, very much related to topics we've been doing. But my point is that the whole conclusion, culmination, climax of Sefer Mada Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud is really not technically about tshuva, it's about Avos Hashem. And I think I've said this in the past, this is an important transition to Sefer Ahava. Right? And what comes next is Ma Rabu, you know, Ma Secha Hashem, you know, and Ma Hafti Torah Secha, you know, Kol Hayom Yisichasi, you know, which is Sefer Ahava, Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Tefillin, so on and so forth. So again, the Rambam speaks about Avos Hashem in the beginning, towards the beginning of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, as beginning as it can be, we'll say that, meaning not in Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, which necessarily focuses on the Metzius Hashem and Yichud Hashem, meaning the theological aspect, but it's as soon as the Rambam, you know, gets beyond that in the very beginning of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, you know, Yisod Yisodos V'Amud HaChachmas Leda She'isha Matzir Rishon and then Yichudo and so on. By the time you finish with Perek Aleph, which is the theology, Perek Basis, Hakel Nechbad V'Hanora Hazeh, Mitzvah li'ava uli'ira mimenu shenemar b'haftas Hashem l'kecha, right? B'nemar Hashem l'kecha tira, and then the Rambam says hechi derech la'basa v'yiraso. As we know, Perek Beis Hilchos Yisod HaTorah Halacha Aleph and Beis is all about avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, going back and forth, the oscillation, you know, from one to the other, each of which kind of strengthens the other. So really, in a way, you know, theology aside, I don't mean that the way it sounds. I mean, we need the theology, obviously. But obviously, you know, we need to start off with the Matzui Rishon and with the Ravonu Sholem, right? Just like Anochi Hashem Elokecha has to start off that way. But, I mean, the Aseres HaDibros and so on. But the first, you know, issue that the Rambam, you know, could decide to address happens to be Yiras Hashem and Avos Hashem, and that's how Sefer Mada kind of begins, and that's how it ends. I don't think it's a coincidence. And then to say it transitions into the next point of Ava, Sefer Ava, the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvah, as we know, right after, again, speaking about the theological things, you know, Ava, Metzius Hashem, Yichud Hashem, right after that, pretty much, the Rambam, again, transitions into Yira and Ava. There are people who are disturbed by the fact that the Rambam seems to present a different focus in Ava, in Sefer HaMitzvos, and in Yad HaChazakah. In Sefer HaMitzvos, he talks about, you know, V'hoyim Shemoa, he talks about Divrei Torah as a source for Avos Hashem. In Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, he speaks about B'shoshis Bo'neinu Adam B'masav V'bruah V'nifloim HaGedolim, more, you know, contemplating nature and the Rabbanu Sholem's creations. There are people who are a little unhappy about that. It seems like it's a stira in the emphasis of the Rambam. What is it that triggers Avos Hashem? But at the end of the day, this is my solution, is that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos is focusing, you know, on that one mitzvah, basically. And the Rambam in Yad HaChazakah has the whole Yad HaChazakah to diffuse and to, you know, subtly integrate, you know, different themes and in the right proportion. So the Rambam begins Yisodei HaTorah practically after the theology with Avos Hashem and with the, you know, Mada, let's say, version of it. And then later on, in the end of Sefer Mada, he has Hilchos Talmud Torah. And then you have Hilchos Tshuva, and Ava, in the context of Tshuva, I'll discuss in a minute, is very important. And then you have, you know, the Ava of Mitzvos. So, in a way, it's not that there's a steer in the Rambam, just that the Rambam is manifesting the different elements or dimensions of Ava throughout Sefer Mada and through Sefer Ava, you know, and beyond. He just has a more expansive, if you will, landscape, you know, with which to develop, you know, the fullness of this topic. But that aside, my bigger point is that the Hilchos Tshuva concludes Sefer Mada, and there are elements in Hilchos Tshuva which are important for Tshuva, including Bechira and Avos Hashem, but that per se are also standalone topics which the Rambam elsewhere contends with, you know, in a way that is disentangled from Tshuva. The impression that all this makes, in my opinion, I've said this in the past for people who have been here, is that for the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, or Tshuva, the institution of Tshuva, is something which is part of the interface of Halacha and Hashkafa. It's part of Avodas Hashem. And therefore it includes elements which certainly inform and even, you know, accentuate Tshuva, but aren't limited to Tshuva. It's part of Sefer Mada, and it's part of Mishneh Torah, Yad HaChazaka. And the Bechira part and the Avos Hashem part are part and parcel of that. Because for the Rambam, it seems, to me at least, the impression is that Tshuva is just a necessary, natural part of the fabric of Avodas Hashem. It's a mode of Avodas Hashem. Of course, it targets and neutralizes outstanding Averos and their implication. Right, that's perfectly clear, right, from the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. But the Rambam's perspective on Tshuva is that, you know, in addition to that and aside from that, and the way that it does that is as a Sefer Hamada, you know, kind of a topic. Meaning it's part of, you know, Avodas Hashem. Part of that is evaluating where you are and, you know, and neutralizing, of course, Chait, and taking the opportunity to elevate your level of commitment. And all that, I think, understandably ends with the concept and the expression of Avos Hashem. Again, I've suggested in the past, I'll repeat it, that it's striking that the Rambam, who, you know, is the first person to really systematize and organize and write a comprehensive Hilchos Tshuva, which I think is also, I mean, it's something that the Rambam does. You know, it's part of his amazing contribution, broadly speaking. But Hilchos Tshuva is a particularly great example, a manifestation, let's say, of those powers and of that, you know, kind of genius that he has to do that. But it also expresses, again, collecting all the Mamare Chazal and, you know, defining, you know, Hilchos Tshuva, which was never done before the Rambam. You had, you know, passages of Midrashim and Gemaras strewn here and there. But putting it all together, 10 chapters, you know, organized and so on, and taking stands, consistent stands on Hilchos Tshuva, is something which, on the one hand, reflects what the Rambam does, but at the same time, again, gives extra prominence and you know, promulgates the centrality of Hilchos Tshuva to Avodas Hashem. He did this, didn't make it a prat, which he could have in, you know, Hilchos Shvisas Asar, integrated into Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim in terms of the, you know, Seirim and so on, and the Vidui, and so he could have done that. But to make it a separate section that he, you know, artificially put together at the end of Sefer Mado, which culminates with the discussion of Avos Hashem, which could have been independent of it, all this, I think, is part of a pattern of the Rambam's projection of the centrality of tshuva and the kind of natural quality of tshuva as something which is, of course, a part of Avodas Hashem. And I think for this reason, it's very interesting to note, on the one hand, something jarring, and I think in the end, something consistent, you know, after the initial response of jarring, and that is that the Rambam omits one of the most striking halachos of Hilchos Tshuva, what the Gemara says in the end of Masachet Yoma, you know, which is that there's Tshuva Me'ava and Tshuva Me'ira, and that both of these are extraordinary, that the Tshuva Me'ava, right, is capable of turning Zdonos into Shkagos, and that the Tshuva Me'ava is capable of taking Zdonos and turning them into Zechuyos, which is even better than Shkagos, although taking Zdonos, putting them into Shkagos, is pretty magical and pretty extraordinary, even in its own right. So that halacha of Tshuva Me'ava, Tshuva Me'ira, is actually technically missing in the Rambam. It's one of the most striking Mamari Chazal. So much has been written about it because it's so challenging to understand. I mean, the impact is, you know, extremely gratifying, obviously, and it's also intellectually and spiritually, it's intellectually puzzling, we'll say, and it's spiritually both inspiring and challenging. So it's not, you know, the kind of Maimer Chazal that is easily ignored. When you're writing, a path, you know, breaking section, Hilchos Tshuva, by, you know, putting together all of these halachos on tshuva, and you dafka seem to omit maybe the most shocking, striking, intriguing one, that can't be a coincidence. So my own view is that the Rambam was a little bit uncomfortable with the formulation in the Gemara, which does sound very mystifying, you know, from a rational point of view, and, you know, very, maybe even mystical, but that he doesn't really ignore the Gemara. What he really does is that he concludes Hilchos Tshuva with a paean to Avos Hashem, as if to say the highest form, you know, of Mada, and the transition into Mitzvos, and the highest form by extension of tshuva is the tshuva me'ava, the tshuva which is consistent with Avos Hashem. But instead of seeing it, as some people maybe would have, as a kind of a gimmick or just in terms of the result, here's a way to take your, you know, imperfect record, or maybe your, you know, blatantly negative record, you know, and to either neutralize it or mitigate it, to neutralize it, or to turn it into, you know, a benefit, right? So the Rambam is trying to explain that tshuva is part of Sefer Mada. It's an approach. It's part of Avodas Hashem. It can't be understood in isolation. The highest form is tshuva me'ava. And, of course, in a way, it's nasos kizchuyos, because it's in a very logical way, as we've explained it in the past, and that is not that, you know, the like a magic wand of tshuva me'ava, you know, which turns your Zdonos into Zchuyos, but that, you know, what this means is, if you look at all this in a very rational way, not to downgrade it, but maybe to upgrade it, meaning it's all part, this is all expressions of Mada, you know, of Avodas Hashem, so then, you know, the sense of alienation and distance created by Chet, and which demands Tshuva, right, if that is followed through in a very consistent manner, and if the focus isn't only on your merits and demerits in a technical sense, but you're standing in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, which is how the Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva, which is to emphasize the idea of Lifnei Hashem. That's how, both in the Koteret and in Sefer HaMitzvos, and in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Aleph, you know, the Rambam really presents it, right? sheyashav achote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvadeh, right? Kishiyasa tshuva yashuv mecheto chayiv lisvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu, same thing in Sefer Mitzvos. If that's really what it is, so then the net consequence of being consistent and following through on this opportunity and obligation, right, of tshuva, but something which is very much part of the fabric of Sefer Mada, is a net positive, meaning you have taken away from this experience, right, the greater urgency and appreciation of what it means to be lifnei Hashem, as opposed to being a rachok me'Hashem. And that ends up being a net positive schus in a very rational way. But the point is that everything about the Rambam's approach to tshuva is very natural, very much part of the fabric, and very much, you know, consequential to the decisions, you know, that you make. And in that sense, the Rambam's approach, because he was the first person to put together an entire Hilchos Tshuva, you know, constantly draws on other aspects of Avodas Hashem and Jewish life. And last year we did a whole bunch of Rambams that I think tried to show how he always practically goes beyond the Makoros and the Gemara, because has this global view of tshuva as of Avodas Hashem, which necessarily invokes and applies other values. But because the Rambam is the first person to formulate an independent Hilchos Tshuva, and because he was the Rambam, so his impact is enormous. And there is no treatment of Hilchos Tshuva after the Rambam which isn't impacted, you know, by his work. But that impact, of course, goes in a very dialectical way. On the one hand, you know, the structure, some of the formulations, some of the actual shitos are initially and default in many cases adopted by the Mefarshim who followed. You can't ignore, nor would you want to, but it's now embedded. The Rambam's structure and his views and his perspective is just embedded in our Hilchos Tshuva or our Tshuva consciousness, and that is something which can be demonstrated again and again and again. But at the same time, you know, what happens is what happens in all, you know, cases of Mesorah, and that is that you also get, you know, reactions, and you also get, you know, as we follow the trajectory, you know, of each generation studying and adding and so on, you get some reactions, some visceral, some intellectual, and you also get the nofech mishalo of the other great Chachmei Mesorah, who, you know, consciously or unconsciously felt that the Rambam downplayed, you know, certain elements, or whose own global understanding of tshuva and of the world of halacha generally, right, push them to, you know, to different conclusions or to different emphases. So it's just really a fascinating task. We're not going to do this all today. Obviously, I'm just laying out a project for all of us and for, you know, for both all of us and each of us, which is to take the Rambam. The first thing, of course, is to take the Rambam, see where, you know, he's drawing from, look at the Makoros, see how he's expanding them and in what way and how consistent that is with his broader view and his deep understanding of these Makoros. Again, that we do all the time when we analyze the Rambam anywhere, and the same, of course, is true and in some respects more true in Hilchos Tshuva, which he kind of put together. But beyond that, then to take the, you know, post-Rambam treatments of Hilchos Tshuva, and to see how, on the one hand, the continuity, the impact of the structure, you can't ignore what the Rambam wrote, so implicitly you always have to be relating to it. You adopt a lot of it, and then you adapt some of it, some consciously, some subconsciously. And there are, of course, many famous works on Hilchos Tshuva, which are worth looking at in this light. And that is going to highlight different dimensions, you know, continuing from the Rambam, in some cases corrective of the Rambam, in some cases, a reflection of the worldview of some of the other Chachmei Mesachus. For example, of course, the most famous, in terms of works, is Rabbeinu Yonah and his Sefer Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah, clearly very influenced by the Rambam's work, and post-Rambam, it's a lot easier to write any work on Hilchos Tshuva. But what we'll try to show, even a little bit today, is that the Nofech Mishalo of Rabbeinu Yonah's own orientation of its Rabbeim, of the concerns of, Chachmei Svarad, of that time. What is Rabbeinu Yonah, adopting, and what is he adapting, and what is he implicitly changing in the Rambam's emphasis in Hilchos Tshuva? The Me'iri, of course, has a sefer called Chibur HaTshuva, which is sometimes published after the Me'iri in Tainus and like the bigger Beis HaBechiras, but it doesn't matter. Chibur HaTshuva, which, again, as we know, the Me'iri was just tremendously influenced by the Rambam in everything that he wrote. We just had a very, telling vignette, a little window the other day where the Me'iri begins Masachat Kedushin, kind of by adapting what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, but again, tailoring it to his own different perspective, even as he's employing it. And that's how, that's the magnificence of halacha and how it continues to expand and continues to be creative, working from the Mesorah. That's what Mesorah really means. It means that, that step forward, but also the Nofech Mishalo of Chachmei Mesorah, which adds important dimensions. So Rabbeinu Yonah did it in his way, and the Chibur HaTshuva of the Me'iri did it in his way. The Ran in Drashos HaRan has a couple of drashos which also reflect his own orientation, but again, very fascinating to look at in light of. The Mabit in his Beis Elokim is an example of that. And then, of course, you have later treatments, of Hilchos Tshuva or Dine Tshuva as well. So I just wanted to, I don't have a couple more minutes, to speak a little bit about Rabbeinu Yonah, because his work is maybe the most popular beyond the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Shari Tshuva. And just, to try to put our finger on some of the themes that he develops and accentuates beyond with the Rambam. In contrast to the Rambam, who, as I said a second ago, I think, this is my reading of it, totally. It doesn't say this anywhere, but what I just described and depicted, which is, for the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva is like the natural climax of Sefer Matan. And as I said, it's the fact that it includes Bechira Chafshis and the way that it relates to Tshuva Me'ava as just a din in Avoda Me'ava, represents that. And I think other things reflect it as well. In sharp contrast to that, and maybe as a bit of a corrective, other Rishonim, accentuated Tshuva. And again, let me make it clear. I'm not suggesting that the Rambam necessarily disagrees, although he might disagree in some cases. He certainly, this is not the emphasis, this is not the impression, at least, that I get from the Rambam. Others have different emphasis. And in the case of Rabbeinu Yonah, I think this emphasis, different emphasis, is reflected by the very first words of Hilchos Tshuva, his Hilchos Tshuva, Shari Tshuva. And I think that this either reflects or became influential in the Drashas HaRan and Beis Elokim and others. Although, again, it all has its roots in some Chazals, particularly in Yerushalmi and Makos and other such sources, but ones which the Rambam seems to have downplayed more. The first words of the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva are the words Min HaTovos. Min HaTovos Asher Heitiv Hashem Yisbarach Im Bruav Ki lahem haderech lalos mitoch pachas maseihem vilanus mipach pishaehem, right? Lachsoch nafsham mine shachas ulhashiv me'aleihem apo. Very poetic, very beautifully composed, right? The meter and the language and so on, just like a very fetching formulation. And there's nothing there that is controversial, right? It does reflect, you know, truths about tshuva. But I think it's very telling that these are the first words of Rabbeinu Yonah. And if my depiction of the Rambam is correct, look at the contrast, the sharp contrast. For the Rambam, tshuva is a necessary and a natural, dimension of Avodas Hashem. And even, you know, for that reason, as I say, the downplaying of tshuva me'ahava unbelievable act of chesed. The first words of Rabbeinu Yonah are minatovos, meaning to emphasize that tshuva is unnatural, undeserved, and in some respects a gift, right, which has the capacity to, thankfully, you know, transform or change the trajectory in a way which is inconsistent with, you know, natural fabric of life. I didn't say anything yet, but if you will. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, to what extent should some of the differences between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam maybe just be attributed to general mythological differences? I mean, the Rabbeinu Yonah is clearly trying to write practical guide,
Well, I think it's more than a practical guide. It is a Musar Sefer, I think that's true. I think it's a good question. Okay, keep. Is that the end of the question?
I mean, there's a contrast in the Rambam, I guess.
No, go ahead. Yeah, no, I just got excited.
There's already the Rambam's side. The Rambam's obviously more than just a practical guide.
Right, so I think, first of all, I think it's a very good point. It's a very proper question to ask. I think that the answer is partially yes, meaning I think some of the differences have to do with that. However, I would say two things at the same time. I would just add two elements to it. One is that, with everything that we always say about the Rambam, which I certainly stand by, you know, enthusiastically and steadfastly and fully, which is that the Rambam is not primarily writing a practical code, right? He's writing, you know, a conceptual blueprint, you know, to Avodas Hashem. It's also true that he's writing a practical code, and that the tensions between those two things, he's also writing a Sefer Musar, especially in Sefer Mada, and it's a Sefer Halacha and a Sefer Musar, and a conceptual blueprint to Avodas Hashem at the very same time. And therefore, there, you know, that aspect is not something which is completely contrasting or absent of the Rambam. Moreover, I don't think that I do think you're right that Shari Tshuva has a very pragmatic and Musar orientation. But if we read Shari Tshuva, it's also clear, and frankly, I would have been shocked otherwise, because Rabbeinu Yonah is also a very conceptual thinker, and Rishonim also knew how to do this, you know, dual enterprise. So there's many things in Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, which don't, you know, contribute to the Musar part or the pragmatic part, but which are really an analysis of Avodas Hashem and the nature of the issues. So what I'm saying is, A, you're right. There is some aspect of that. B, we shouldn't exaggerate the importance of it only because there are pragmatic elements and Musar elements to what the Rambam is writing, and there are important conceptual dimensions to what's being written in Shari Tshuva. Number three is that no matter, you know, even if A were completely right without, you know, my qualifying it with B, in the end of the day, there are, I think, certain different perspectives that emerge or are emphasized in the two. And that doesn't only flow from like an efficient or pragmatic or Musar emphasis as opposed to a more like what's the big picture, how does this fit in the grand scheme, and what does it contribute or reflect about Avodas Hashem and the other. There are just some issues which are downplayed or absent in the Rambam and which are accentuated in Rabbeinu Yonah, where there just seems to be a different, if not a difference of opinion, or certainly a difference of emphasis conceptually as well. And this, I think, is a great example of it. You don't get the impression in Mishnah Torah, pretty much, and then when you read the later literature, to me, I'm speaking this all, I've read this anywhere, this is all personal impression. So, you know, this idea of, now, if you ask the Rambam, is it a tova, you know, that there are bonus shalom, and isn't it kind of a gift, something which, you know, defies the normal causality? That's really what the Yerushalmi in Makos says. Yerushalmi Makos has this line, you know, where, you know, basically, you know, the idea of tshuva and the, you know, kind of the, you know, the Malachi Ashares, you know, and so on, are complaining that, you know, the Rabbona Shalom is giving man a free, or giving the Jews a free ride with tshuva, because there should be, you know, crime and consequence. You know, there should be causality. And tshuva defies causality. The Rambam knew that Yerushalmi. If you were to interview the Rambam, I don't think he would have said it's not a chesed, or that it isn't, you know, a defiance of causality. But for the Rambam, that wasn't, you know, the nekuda that defines tshuva. And there is a way, just as I think he avoided, you know, the frames or the formulation because he thought it was too narrow or mystical sounding, even though he found a way, in my opinion, to adapt it and to formulate it in a broader way and maybe for him in a more powerful way. So too, you know, the this idea of Tovas Hashem and it being, you know, against the laws of gravity, of, you know, of judicial or justice gravity, right? And so on. It may be true, but that's not the, you know, the that's not the nekuda nifla, if you will, or the nekuda merkazit of Avichas Tshuva. More than that being true is the truth that, you know, man has free choice, that he can change his direction, that the Rabbona Shel Olam is open to that, you know, and so on. So I think it's a very good point, and I accept that. But those are just the two haros that I make. So I think the, you know, symbol of the Raivin beginning with the Minatovos, Asher Heitev Hashem Yisparach and Bruah, I don't think the Rambam would deny it. I just think that's not what the Rambam even wants to emphasize. For him, the fabric of and the integration with the rest of Sefer Mada and even some of the elements in Ilchus Tshuva is a stronger presentation, or is the presentation that's closer to his heart or to what he thinks is unique about tshuva. And maybe Rabban Yonah's perspective or Di'ine is we already have that and now it's time to emphasize this part, or maybe it's just more to their personality or to their perspective on tshuva. That's hard to know. But I think you do get an interesting different perspective, not contradictory at all. Anyways, Min HaTovos Asher Heitev Hashem Yisbarach Im Bruah. This, I think, is also just fascinating. The description of sin. Again, I don't think the Rambam would deny any of this, but you have a much more visceral description of what chet is, and you can almost, that's what I mean by visceral, you can, like, you know, whether you want to or not, you know, you're forced to kind of come to grips with it as, you know, this, you know, you're trying to climb out of this swamp, you know, where, you know, you're going against gravity, the odds are against you in every way, you know, and, you know, if not, that's why you need the Minatovos, and Chet isn't just something that, you know, is an onesh or is against Avodas Hashem. It's something that is contaminated. I'm not saying the Rambam doesn't believe it. I'm just telling you that the initial formulations of Rabbeinu Yonah, right, I'm just saying, oh, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalom designed tshuva, even as a tova, to neutralize your chataim, which will bring you onshim, or which will, you know, deny you the ultimate reward of Olam Haba. What the Rabbeinu Yonah's presenting is something very graphic. I'm suggesting it's more than literary license, it's an emphasis. This is a tova and imbruav, you know, it's an amazing tova because you're in this, you know, almost logically inescapable swamp. You've been contaminated and, you know, defiled. Lalos mitoch pachas maaseim vilanus mipach pishehem, right? Lachsoch nafsho, nefoshos, nafsham, sorry, meaning, you know, this is the only way to spare your life, right? It's not okay, you know, you have to say Kriyat Shema twice a day, and you have to acknowledge theologically Mitzios Hashem and Yichud Hashem and the lack of Hakshama, you know, and you have to, you know, daven every day, you know, and so on and so forth, and you have to give tzedakah, and you should do, and you have to do tshuva to neutralize your chataim. Right? That's not Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah, it's like, you know, you're in the swamp, and, you know, you really shouldn't be allowed to escape, but you're being thrown this lifeline, which you don't deserve as an act of chesed, which, believe it or not, is really going to pull you out of this swamp. And not just pull you out of the swamp, but it's going to pull you to a state, if you do it properly, especially on Yom Kippur, but even otherwise, to a state of tahara, of pristine tahara. V'lonus mipach b'shem, lachsoch nafshom, minei shachas, ulahashiv me'aleim apo, again, the Rabbonu Shalom's anger, another visceral image, right? V'limdam, right, v'hizhiram, lashuv elav, meaning this is all the initiative of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. He, if not for his making, teaching you how to do tshuva. Again, we know where this comes from. Numerous chazals, lishonos of psukim, some in the Torah, some in Tehillim, right? You know, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha Vin Hashuva, right? We have different impressions from the psukim. You know, is it our, probably our two dinim, right? You know, it's Habalah, you know, Taher Misayinoso. That's when we take the initiative. And then there's Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha Vin Hashuva, right? Where we can't even get started until the Rabbanu Shalom takes initiative. So it's just fascinating. Rabbeinu Limedam, over Limdam rather, Behizhiram Lashuve Love, Kiechtu Lo, Lerov Tuvo, when they do Chatoim. Lerov Tovo V'Yashro, once again, we already said it, but we're repeating it. Kihu Yada Yitzram. Again, you don't have that whole. Now, again, where does that come from? From the very beginning of the Torah, Bereishis and in Parshas Noach, you know, where, you know, man's, you know, incorrigible nature to fight. For sure, the Rambam knows this and believes in it, but it's so interesting that this isn't part of the presentation of tshuva for the Rambam, but it is for Ben Yonah. Kihu Yoda Yitzram Shenemar Tovi Ashar Hashem Alkein Yorach Atoyim Baderech, right, the psukim that emphasize, not creating this, it's in Chazal, it's in the psukim, but what are we emphasizing, and what image, what's our first image of tshuva, right, before he's going to be very intellectual too, the different categories, the impact of the different chatoim, he's going to get conceptual, but what's our first impression here, the tone setter, if you will. So then, we're also told, v'hu, I'm skipping a little bit, v'huzharnu ala tshuva b'kama mekomos batorah, also interesting. Again, the Rambam doesn't even speak about tshuva, as we know. Tshuva, for the Rambam, we've spoken about this, is a, I mentioned it the other day when we were talking about Ishus. Tshuva for the Rambam sounds like it's matter of fact. Right? V'hu sheyashuv achotei mecheto v'yisvadeh. Or kishe yoshuv achote mecheto, right, mitzvah lehizvados, right? This is what everybody remarks on in the Rambam, that the Rambam isn't even mentioning or emphasizing with the in my ha'arim, with the exception of the chiyuv on Yom Kippur, to do tshuva. The Rambam is emphasizing the derech of vidui. So that aside for the moment, that's already a very creative and interesting approach, which people, you know, found challenging to explain and to justify. But in the end of the day, right, part of the impression is that the tshuva part is automatic. I mean, that you have to do tshuva is clear. You don't, you know, where's the huzharu batorah pa'amim rabos, right? And where's the climb up from the swamp, right? I don't know if the Rambam would deny it, but that's not the point, because this is all part of, you know, there's Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, there's Hilchos Deos, you know, there's Hilchos Talmud Torah, there's also Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and then there's Hilchos Tshuva. So, you know, you have to do tshuva. The method of doing tshuva, how do you do tshuva? What are the, you know, dark much midarke ha tshuva, how much nechama and busha and kabbalah la'asid, you know, all of this. Where does shofar fit in? Where does the sarasimei tshuva fit in? What about the difference between tshuva on actions and tshuva on beliefs and character flaws, perek zayin, right? You have all this, for sure. But, you know, doing tshuva is a davar pasha, right? Can't be omeid b'mirdo. On the other hand, for the Reina Yonah, it's important to emphasize b'limdam, b'hishiram, and then to repeat v'huz harno ala tshuva b'kama makomos b'torah, because he's not seeing it, or at least not focusing on that part of it. He's focusing on the opportunity, the chesed, the magic, the capacity that it has beyond what we would have thought. Now he goes to the question of motivation, right? Let's say he's, you know, motivated pragmatically. Should he get this chesed and this tova if he's just being, I wouldn't say cynical. Cynical is not fair. But he's being pragmatic. I mean, he wants to, you know, he wants to live a long life. He wants the Rabbeinu Shalom's chain rather than his af, right? He may be looking, you know, forward to, you know, immortal life. Okay. Nonetheless, that too is tshuva, which is mukubelis, which is a chesed and a tov. Kol shekeinim yoshev miyiras Hashem v'havaso. So he too, interestingly enough, zeroes in on the yira and the abba as the, for Rabbeinu Yonah, the ultimate goal of tshuva is not the neutralization of chet, just like it isn't for the Rambam. It is yira and especially ava. Shenemar batzar l'chol mitzaucha kol advar ma'ela bachras hayomim b'shavtar Hashem alokachav shamata b'kolam v'izbar batorek yazar Hashem l'shavim. Once again, the siyata d'shmaya component. Kasher ein yad tivam maseges. Is that a statement in general or in those cases? Hard to read. V'chadesh b'kirbam ruach tahor. So this is like a, you know, transformative process. They're going from the swamp, you know, which they can't extricate themselves from on their own, to, you know, the siyata d'shmaya, which is giving them kasher ein yad tivam maseges yichadesh b'kirbam, which has a certain reading and connotation, ruach tahor lahasig malas avaso. Lahasig avaso. And v'maksuvim dibur tamid al dvar tshuva ad kibau ikrea tshuva kula mifurashim b'divreim kasher yidba'er. V'dak yachote kasher yitacher lashuv michataso. Therefore, somebody who delays his tshuva from chet, yichabed alav me'od, right, on show b'chol yom, ki hi odea ki yet yotza ketzef alav, v'yesh lo manos lanus shama, right, he's in the swamp, he has the lifeline, right, as long as he stays there, he's tarnished, right, it's an unbelievable gift that he was thrown this lifeline, he has the capacity of, you know, ruach chadash and ruach tahor, and if he ignores that, so it's not just, oh, he hasn't yet done tshuva, right, it's not even just, oh, he's omid b'mir, it's more than that, it's like kum va'asei, rejection, right? V'hamanos hu atshuva. He has the escape. V'hu omeid b'mirdo, right? V'hino b'ra'aso. Halkein da'ato rabba. It isn't just that, you know, he hasn't done it yet. By, you know, by looking this gift horse, you know, askance, he has just dug himself deeper, you know, into the swamp. And made more precarious, I guess, when you're deeper in the swamp. So then the lifeline, you know, becomes, you know, more problematic, too. And this is the way that he is portraying. I'm going to stop here because it's getting a little bit late. But the this is very consistent with Rabbeinu Yonah's tone about the urgency of not delaying, the urgency of tshuva, the method of tshuva, the stakes of tshuva. And in particular, what you find throughout Rabbeinu Yonah, and again, Ellie's point, absolutely consistent with this too. I just don't think it's the whole story. This is a Sefer Musar. And it's intended also to impress a certain level of urgency. So we shouldn't be surprised that the theme, which we also find in the Drashas, Rosh Hashanah of the Ramban, his cousin, of Mered and Omed Bemirdo, is a critical element in the urging of tshuva. Not so much in the Rambam. Again, though the Rambam wouldn't have denied it. But because the whole, whether it's more cerebral or, I don't think the issue is cerebral, I think the real issue is, because Hilchos Tshuva is structured, not coincidentally, right, in and it's part of the fabric of Sefer Mada, of Avodas Hashem, the way that it is, so the sense of Omeid Bemirdo part of it is less accentuated. But if it's all Mitovas Hashem, and, you know, Pachas Nefesh, and so on, so then there are going to be merid elements that are going to come particularly to the fore, including being ma'acher, including a particularly fascinating focus of, and mechudash focus of Rabbeinu Yonah, how to understand mi sheshana bechet nasalo keheter, or mi sheshana bechet echad in particular, why that is such a, not just unacceptable, but why the implications of that, right, are much beyond, you know, one would think. All of this because of this emphasis in Hilchos Tshuva. Again, not inconsistent when you put the Rambam together with this emphasis of Rabbeinu Yonah. There's no stira, you don't have to choose. These are different dimensions of tshuva. Maybe if there was no Rambam, there wouldn't have been a Shari Tshuva. I suspect that that's true, both in terms of working off it and also filling in the gaps, or in some cases responding to, you know, what, you know, either consciously or maybe even more subconsciously to what might be missing there. But this is an example, I think, of how to look at the different works that we have by Chachmei Mesorah on tshuva as a methodology, and the, I think, tremendous nuggets, you know, the capacity to really come up with wonderful insights that are very meaningful to the process of tshuva and in general to us in the process. Okay, we'll stop here and maybe we'll continue with this, either Rabbeinu Yonah or some other examples, and then discuss some issues in tshuva more specifically next.